first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Such a very happy tune. It's hard to listen to the overture to Carmen without tapping your toes. I was brought up, raised on classical music. I know that's a little odd for a kind of a tail end of the baby boomer. I don't know when the baby boomer stopped, but I was at the tail end of it. That's how I grew up. I grew up on classical music. I didn't listen to a lot of country music. It wasn't my thing. I was an urban kid. But I listened to Jason Aldean's song because it's been in the news. It is astounding how predictable the radical left is. They now, and that doesn't mean every single one of them, there are the bandwagoners, the people who jump on the bandwagon and follow the radical left down any primrose path, down any insane idea that they care to throw out there, including men can have babies, including jump off this bridge because I told you to, including wear a burqa because it's better for you, including if you don't do as we say, you'll be killing grandma, and then they go and kill a lot of grandmas. I mean, they'll, you know, the bandwagon, the people on the bandwagon will follow anything. But increasingly, there's fewer and fewer people who are being fooled. At least that's what I'd like to believe. You can't really, unfortunately, trust the polls because those also are coming from the garbage in, garbage out kind of propaganda media. So we can only speculate on a lot of things. As I mentioned on Tuesday, Tucker Carlson said in his big speech, from which I played a quick, about a 90-second clip, he said, the honest truth is, how can you really, really know? And there's a lot we have to be humble about in saying, here's what we speculate, but we don't completely know. Interestingly, the people trying to censor you and me, censor opinion, questions, doubt, discussion, debate, are the people who have no such humility, no such concern for the truth, and they will not only push a lie as far as they can, but persecute those who say, oh, that's just silly. And that's what we have to keep doing if that's what you believe. If you believe that's just preposterous, you know, I guess you're an anti person. If you dare to say, you know what, I don't think men can have babies, and I don't believe in mastectomies for 12-year-olds. I had to upgrade that because my guest on Tuesday let me know that it's mastectomies for 12-year-olds, not 9-year-olds. Does it really make a difference in the sense that they have hardly developed and they are at least, 6 years or more from the age of consent in which this is being done to children? My. So the story on Jason Aldean, I'm going to stick with for just a minute because the country music television, not something I watch, which I gather is MTV for country fans, they censored and shut down Jason Aldean's video of his song, Don't Try That in a Small Town. And what was their reason? If you believe this, then I got a Brooklyn Bridge to sell you. They said that his lyrics were too violent. His lyrics were too violent. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. Well, try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Now, one of the articles that I have been looking at talks about the kind of unbelievable violence that is A-okay to the radical left, but Jason Aldean's song, it isn't. So let's first call BS. We can say that on this air, right? BS. We can call BS on the notion that that's really what they have problems with, Jason Aldean's song. The kind of lyrics that are A-okay, I couldn't even say online. I was a little careful and not sure I should say BS, right? but I'm looking at the thrills and encouraging rape and theft and all kinds of things. That's okay with the left if you are from the right side of, from the correct side of the political agenda, you get a pass. Now, because I'm calling BS, we have to talk about, well, what's really going on here? They're calling it racist. There's not one reference, not one thing about race in this song. So that's another knee-jerk thing. Anything they don't like that they give, they want to give total license to shut down and censor, they'll call racist. They've called black people racist. They've called black cops racist. They've called, let's see, Mark Twain and Mr. Potato Head racist so that they can shut them down and censor them and rob and take away people's rights. So you have to call BS on that one. The next one is, what are they really defending? What is making them so angry about a song that says, try it in a small town? Well, number one, again, the violence, that's absurd. That doesn't hold any water. But what are they defending? They were defending rioting, big city horrors like homelessness, drug addiction, out of control crime, and utter hatred and contempt for the police who protect innocent citizens of every color, race, and creed. That's what they're standing up for. Might I say, though I have not seen the movie, this is what Freedom sounds like, the movie about, I apologize, I don't have that title in front of me because I didn't see it. It is about the child sex trafficking trade, and that too is being censored in a formerly free country. You must ask yourself, what are they defending? They don't want child sex trafficking to stop? Is that their position? Are they willing to defend that position? Yes, that's what I think it means. They hate media that says, I'm against, you know, I thought about it. I'm against sex trafficking of children. I'm against teaching children that there is no boy and there is no girl and using that for the impetus of doing maiming, life-changing surgery on children before the age of consent. I'm going to call that gender affirming so that I can lie about the fact that I'm actually in support of maiming children, forcing this upon them. If children or anyone has no right to consent, remember the right to consent? We all used to have it at one point. The right to consent. We have a right to know what we are putting in our bodies, what people are doing to our bodies. All of that body autonomy is being not just chipped away, but I may say, they're taking a wrecking ball to body autonomy, not only of children, but of adults as well. What do all these things have in common? The use of force. The use of force. The idea that one person has the right to force another to do his bidding. Once upon a time, the left was against that. So the good news, believe it or not, and I'm going to get to that with my time left, the good news is Jason Aldean's song, which I just listened to, will be a bigger hit now than when it was censored by country music television. That's true of a lot of things going on today. That doesn't mean it's we're out of the woods. No, but we are finding that people who will not be controlled, who will think for themselves, who will ask questions when they are told, do this or you're killing grandma, who will ask questions when they ask, well, I'm not going to put that in my body till I know what it is. I have the right to say no. Again, once upon a time, the left were into health foods. They wouldn't even drink tap water, but now they're on the bandwagon with being forced all manner of things being put in your body against your will and without your consent. Look how easy and quickly things change when you're a collectivist. When you have taken leave of your independence and your individual liberty, you can be talked into anything. And it's not that hard to even bully and intimidate you because you can be talked into anything. Once upon a time, that seems to be my theme today, the United States of America celebrated individual differences, celebrated debate, dissent, and disagreement. We were better than the third world countries that said there are only certain opinions that are acceptable. I don't have the time, or I would dissect a propaganda hit piece that was done by a crazy little website threatening an actor for daring to take a position that they disagree with and saying how that's going to ruin his career and is ruining his career, according to them. Now, used to be they did that behind the scenes, but they didn't cheer it overtly. But now, as you know, we're looking at overt cheering of subversion of the Constitution and from freedom. I don't have the time to get into more of this. Did I? I don't think I mentioned today. I can mention it now. Is our 500th show of Spouting Off. So we're celebrating that here. We have a couple of good guests to join us in just a moment. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at KarenCataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And we have a encore visit from our next guest. We were only getting started when I spoke to her last. Her name is Rachel Ehrenfeld, Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld. She's the author of The Soros Agenda. She's the founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. Dr. Ehrenfeld's multidisciplinary approach encompasses economic warfare and weapons of mass effect, including disinformation, free speech, indoctrination, propaganda, all the things that we talk about a lot around here. Dr. Ehrenfeld focuses on identifying patterns of seemingly unrelated domestic and foreign events as they link to threaten the U.S. political and social economic stability. Once again, that's some of what we talk about around here. Dr. Ehrenfeld, thank you so much for being with us here on Spouting Off.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's see. We could talk more about George Soros, and of course, he has turned over all of his operations, as far as I understand it, to his son, Alexander. Word is that George Soros, well into his 90s, has some dementia. That hasn't stopped some other people, like presidents of the United States. But why don't you give us an update before we maybe talk about these seemingly unrelated domestic and foreign events that link together? Because I'm always talking about that, and I would love to hear your thoughts. First, let's talk about Soros's operation. He's been grooming his son for a very long time to take over. Has his son Alexander completely taken over now?
His son has apparently taken over both the Open Society Foundations as well as the financial operations of the funds that the Soros family, it's a private foundation, private financial foundation, which is worth, what, $25 billion, as they say. I don't know. I haven't heard that Soros, the George, the father, has dementia. I gather he decided to announced last month that his son Alexander has taken over, although he actually did it since December, but the official announcement was in June. And as you mentioned, he has been grooming him to be there for a long time. In 2018, he took him on a worldwide tour to introduce him. He went with him to introduce him to prime ministers, presidents, heads of international organizations around the world to introduce him as his heir. So that was quite a few years ago. And Alexander had been involved and had participated in all kinds of international meetings, in the Munich Security Conference, in all kind of UN meetings, World Bank, IMF, you name it, he showed up. And, of course, visiting a lot with the Biden administration, officials, and government offices. So he'd been around for a long time. People know him. However, he declared that he is more political than his father, which is kind of hard to think about.
How could he be more political than his father? And what does that mean to be more political in this case?
I understand it as being more increasing funding to different political agendas and candidates here in the United States, although they are involved in more than 120 countries, who knows how much more, how many more, is it 160, 190, we don't know. But the focus, major focus is really the United States, because this is the only constitutional republic in the world and the superpower still. So it's important to employ and implement the Soros agenda that George Soros had set out to do back in the early 90s, and to establish, if they can, a Soros stand instead of the United States.
Dr. Ehrenfeld, I have read just recently that the report came out that Alexander Soros has visited the White House since Biden has been occupying it numerous times, well over 20, since he's been president.
Yeah, well, you know, considering the lack of transparency with the Biden administration and the Soros Foundations as well, it could be 40, it could be more. Besides, this doesn't actually take into account how many times he had been into the State Department, how many times he had been to other government offices, and how many times had he met with the people who work in these offices outside the office in social events. So the connections are very well established, and they, especially now in summer, you have all kinds of weekends here and there. So they meet frequently, and the Soroses absolutely are doing everything in order to see to it that the progressive agenda of the Biden administration will continue and will be actually enforced. So they've already contributed millions to PACs, to political action committees, to ensure their candidates will be elected. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we should expect from them to do. Though I think there is a big difference between Alex and his father. His father was really a worldly man. It doesn't matter how many people from around the world Alex had met, he doesn't have the savvy of his father, and most of all, he is not respected as his father. His father has been very much respected because of his ability to make money. And he made a lot of money. He became a billionaire. And so Alex doesn't have that. And that was really the main source of respect that George Soros had for all his years of operations. Certainly, well, going back even to the 80s, but certainly since the 90s, yes. Because that's when he bet against the Bank of England. He successfully created the devaluation of the British pound, and he was known as a maverick financier. If you invested with his funds, you were guaranteed that you will make a lot of money. So that Alex doesn't have that. So
Dr. Ehrenfeld?
He's the heir of a very powerful political machine with a lot of money. So we shall see how he certainly will continue to fund the Biden administration and the progressive left, and we shall see how it will work out.
Dr. Ehrenfeld, because you have done the deep dive into George Soros and his workings. And the great majority of people now know who Soros is. They know that he's using his billions to influence and impose his will on people, despite the fact that they may disagree with him. He's no longer a character, or his son is a character in the shadows. People know who he is. So I got to cut to the chase here, simply because we have such short segments, and say that given all you know and all the work that you've done on this book, The Soros Agenda, which I encourage everybody to get, can this person and their billions and the subversion of liberty, can they be stopped? And if so, how can you stop them?
Well, I suggest, as you I follow up on your suggestions, to read The Soros Agenda, because it lays out it shows what the plans were and how Soros went about to implement them. And if you know, so it's really kind of, the book really serves as introduction and a map for Know Thy Enemy. If you know what the enemy is doing, if you know what the enemy is up to, if you know what their agenda is, then you can start resisting even before it has reached you, wherever you live. So make sure that you pay attention to who are the people that he's funding, and make sure that your neighbors, your friends, your family, and your community rejects them, because you want freedom, individual freedom, and you don't want you want your free speech, and you want to do your business. You don't want to live in a socialist, neo-communist, whatever it is, society. And if you read The Soros Agenda, you can find out what is ahead of you, how did we arrive where we are today, and what to do in order to resist it. And you can get The Soros Agenda at Amazon. If you go to my website, theacdemocracy.org, you can find out more information about booksellers, including Amazon, and more information, articles that I have written about Soros, which are not included in the book.
Excellent. I may have asked you this before, but when we're living in a time where the masks are off, just about the time these various countries and totalitarians tried to put masks on us, their masks were removed. And it isn't just George Soros, who seems like a Dr. Evil to us. It's Bill Gates, it's the World Economic Forum, it's Communist China. All these people coming out of the woodwork, deciding, believing they have a right to decide who lives and who dies, who shall have freedom, who shall have liberty, who shall have justice, and they want to control everyone else. We were under the illusion that in America we have individual freedom, and we are watching it slip away before our very eyes. How could you, since we were talking about seemingly unrelated domestic and foreign events, can you speak to the Soros operation, which is formidable, interacting or not interacting with these other Dr. Evils, and I'm a member of the tribe like you, and this Harari guy from Israel, connected to the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab, and the Communist Chinese. And there just seems to be a lot of people who've decided what we will eat, whether we will drive, whether we will live or die. It's a scary, kind of like a bad sci-fi movie. Can you connect the dots for us?
This is really the globalist agenda. And the globalist agenda is to dictate to the rest of us, who should live, how we should live, what should we do, what we can say, what can we think, what we are allowed to think. So I think that and America is really the only country where you have Free speech in the Constitution is the First Amendment, and we should hold on to it. And there are some movements now where parents and schools and businesses are actually trying to object, sometimes successfully, by suing those who are violating their rights.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is that these globalists, and Soros is a master of this, have been using really an Orwellian language. So whatever they say, well, yeah, this is good for you, it's actually bad for you.
Isn't that true?
The organization, the foundations are called Open Society. It's not to open society, it's not for freedom, it's actually to close society, to create division, to create more racism, to create more anarchy, really, in society, and create more chaos. So, you know, everything that you hear from major media outlets and from progressive Democrat candidates and officials just really reverse the meaning of what they of their statements, and you know when you are standing. It's really
exactly.
It's really an Orwellian world that is combined also with allowing people or encouraging people to be doped. You know, go and take some marijuana; it's good for you. And people should resist it because this will destroy society and lead to many, many, many troubles as we are already facing, and we could face more.
We do know, and we're going to wrap it up, we do know that Soros money is backing the transgender agenda, the, quote, safe injection sites, anything and everything that will destroy our country, our culture, our civil society, right and wrong. Seems like Soros is behind it. I encourage everybody to get her book, The Soros Agenda. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, thank you so much for joining us. We're always honored to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Well, we're going to come back with our reporter of the week from the Epoch Times. Don't go away for that. You're listening to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com, and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police in the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Welcome back. That'll wake you up. We're doing some references to music, and we're going to do a little bit more with our next guest. You may know we love having Epoch Times reporters here on Spouting Off, and this next guest, I always have a great time talking to her. Her name is Nanette Holt. She oversees a team of Epoch Times reporters focused mainly on family issues and Florida politics. The team works to illuminate topics such as the fight to restore parents' rights in schools. Gee, what do you know? Too bad we need to do that, but we do. The push to teach young children about gender ideology, critical race theory, Marxist teachings on college campuses. And when not chasing the news, she enjoys cattle ranch life with her family and visits hospitals and nursing homes with her miniature horse, Cinnabon. I love it. Nanette Holt, welcome once again to Spouting Off.
It is so nice to hear your voice and to be with you again.
I love having you on. And, I was going to go for the Tucker Carlson article that you wrote. And I encourage everybody to just look up Nanette Holt if you love these issues, psychological issues, family issues, all of that. She does a beautiful job, as does her staff. But I got to go to this other article that you wrote called Dorky Dads Gain Global Following, Making Classical Music Cool Again. I love it. Oh, and subtitle, they seek to heal the spirit, inspire children to do, quote, hard things, and connect audience members to the divine. This is a divine topic. Tell us more about this. I love
it. Well, I got to tell you, I drove from Florida up to Atlanta, Georgia to see yet another Piano Guys concert. I'm very familiar with the Piano Guys. And boy, oh boy, it's one of these things as a journalist, you sometimes hesitate to interview and meet in person, people that you've admired or, you really respect their work or, all these things. You kind of think, if I, meet these people, am I going to feel like, wow, what a fraud or... just they weren't nice or just be disappointed. You kind of want to keep the magic there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And when I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. What nice people. They're not only brilliant musicians that have this goal of just making the world a better place. And I really believe that they do that with their music, but they're just so nice and so down to earth. And we had a wonderful time. And I hope I kind of brought the reader along with me on that one.
Well, this is great to hear as well, because I was born and raised on classical music. While everybody else was listening to rock and roll, my brother was a classically trained pianist. We were a musical family. And our dinner conversation was, who was the greater pianist, Rubinstein or Richter? So,
you guys are really into it.
I didn't know about the Piano Guys, and they play classical music, yes?
Well, they do, and they kind of make these mashups that maybe a purist, a classical purist, would at first think, I am not going to like this. I want classical music on a 200-year-old cello, and that's it. I don't want to hear any kind of updated arrangement. But I tell you what, every person I've spoken with who loves classical music just gets addicted to the way the piano guys present this music in a way that really is reaching people of different ages who maybe think, oh, classical music, I'm not interested. Boy, when you hear piano guys, your heart just sings. I'm telling you, my kids, even my teenager, they're addicted to the piano guys. It's just beautiful music. I would highly encourage people to check out their YouTube channel. They make these beautiful videos, and they cart a big grand piano and, of course, cello around all over the world. They're trying to play at all the seven wonders of the world. They're trying to play at each of those and make a music video.
Oh, it's just
uplifting to the soul, I got to tell you. Worth going to YouTube.
I also date myself again, but, you know, when I was a kid, we had one of the great ambassadors for classical music in Leonard Bernstein, who did the young people's concerts and made music, I guess, cool, but certainly educated young people about the beauty and the timelessness of classical music. So I think this is wonderful. Whether I like it or not, I'm going to go there. And I'm going
to I encourage listen. You to. If you want your heart to be smiling, you're not going to regret going and just checking it out. But, you know, these mashups, basically, I didn't describe that well, but they take the, you know, hundreds of years old pieces and use those and then blend them in different parts of the arrangements with, you know, newer things. So I got to tell you, it might make a purist cringe a little bit, but it's fabulous if you give it a try. One of their one of my favorites that they do is called "I Want You Bach." So they blend a Bach, some Bach music with the Jackson 5 "I Want You Back," and the video is just so cute. I mean, it's just so funny that it has 70s musicians playing alongside musicians from 200 years ago, and obviously
you're right. On first glance, I might look askance because I really do love Rachmaninoff and Beethoven and Chopin and all that. But what it does seem to do is bridge the gap between now and then and make them both relevant. And for that, how could you not love that?
Well, right. And trust me, they love and honor those, composers of old as well. So I think what they try to do is honor the tradition and yet bring it to a newer audience. So it's just cool. And I'm so thankful that you asked me about it because it's one of the favorite stories I've ever done.
That is so much fun. So let's move now to your other premium article. And I'm going to give the plug myself, get the Epoch Times. You want honest, decent reporting. It's so hard. And you can disagree with Epoch Times, but they're actually doing the kind of journalism that seems to be gone and dead now. Your article, Tucker Carlson warns young conservatives to pay attention to topics with unapproved words. I cover this in my Tuesday monologue, but I want to hear from you about this particular aspect of his speech because it was great.
It really was. Well, he just... he seems to be even more freer in what he's saying these days than before when he was on Fox. And basically the point of his speech was, you know, listen to the people who are getting shouted down the loudest and silenced and censored. Listen to what they're saying, because probably that guarantee what they're saying is true. If the political left is shouting them down, what they're saying is truth. I thought that was really interesting. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, all those things that we weren't allowed to say on social media platforms that were censored and silenced, they came out to be true.
Yes, and it isn't just being shouted down. It's being punished, persecuted, bullied, and intimidated for daring to think it, for daring to question the orthodoxy. That's what cults do.
Exactly. He used the term thought crimes that were... They're coming after us for thought crimes now. And, yeah. you know, who would have thought we would be in this place, in this country? But we are. But it's not a time for, shrinking back is what he was encouraging people. Don't shrink back. So it was a great honor to be able to cover that.
Great. I love the work you do. I really do. And I love the Epoch Times as well. I wanted to ask you, what as a reporter, are you privy at all to what's going on with Tucker Carlson? I mean, he's being threatened and being told that he's violating some kind of contract. He's being put in limbo. Do you have any, kind of inside knowledge about that that the rest of us don't?
I can't say that I have special knowledge, but I will tell you that the whole team at Epoch Times is keeping very close watch on what's going on with him, because it is more than just a talk show host who was taken off the air. It really, speaks to that that speech issue. And is there as a lot of people suspect, is there this greater cooperation to remove people who don't regurgitate the narrative that we're supposed to all, just blindly regurgitate right now? If people start stepping out of line, they get removed.
I just don't think that wondering that, speculating on it, is even remotely, and I know you're not saying this, is a conspiracy theory. When you see it again and again and again, and a completely different set of justice for people who agree than people who do not agree, then, how many times does chicken, it's not chicken, that's the wrong analogy. How many times do you have to see an example of the same exact thing again and again and again when you realize they've been zombified, Fox News, clearly, they're now in zombie territory, and they're complying with the head zombies. You will remove Tucker Carlson. And then they do. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's such a good point. It used to be, as a journalist, I have to be skeptical of everyone I speak with, and I hate to be that way, but really, to be fair and to do my job well and to report back to people well, I have to be skeptical. I can't be easily spoon-fed a narrative. I have to, rely on facts. And I do have to trust body language and tone of voice and things like that that are just kind of gut things, gut-level things that let me know if I'm headed in the right track. And I got to tell you, it used to be the quickest way to get me to stop listening was to start shouting about conspiracies. It used to be that was really a clue that, someone wasn't a serious person. I tell you now, the quickest way to get me to listen is to start shouting conspiracy theories.
Yeah, because pretty scary when all so many, not all, but
no,
a lot of them
all.
Are coming true. Now, Tucker Carlson also, because I watched that video pretty carefully, and he also said, how can you really know what the truth is? And he made such a good point about remaining humble and having a certain amount of humility, especially with commentators who are taking a position, and I take plenty of them, that you still have to be willing to be wrong. And what you just said about what you have to do as a reporter, to look at body language, to question, to doubt, to investigate, that's a model for what every single everyday citizen has to do today with the profound propaganda media that seems to have taken over practically every outlet out there.
Exactly. And I believe in that part of the speech, and some of my story, my story is getting longer and longer. I could have written for 4 days about all the things in that speech, and I had to start trimming some things out that had been written. But not sure if this made it into the published work, but yeah, I think he did refer to, a lot of these things we're not going to know what was true until after we die. And, it's some of these things only God knows. So, that was his opinion. But it's getting harder and harder sometimes to tell the truth from the things that are presented as truth that are not truthful. But, I think if people are very aware of the need for discernment, it gets a little easier.
Discernment.
You have to go into things with your eyes wide open.
Exactly. And if you're seeing patterns of the same lies from the same liars over and over again, you have every right to question and to doubt whatever they're telling you. That's what they tell people in juries. One of my favorite, if they're If they're wrong in one thing, they're wrong in everything. You have a right to discount all the testimony of a person who you found not to be credible. We only have about 2 minutes. I want to find out, what are you working on?
Oh, my fingers have been flying across the keyboard today. I've got, you know, my team is cranking out some really great stuff. One thing that I put down to get to speak with you is about how Planned Parenthood now has a big push to have a really kind of edgy tone. So they're reaching the teenagers on social media. They literally have a campaign now saying that virginity is just a social construct, and it's really outdated and patriarchal. That's the in the words, exactly the words of Planned Parenthood. I thought that was interesting, in that their business model is to provide abortions, and that's how they make their money.
Does that mean little children who are like 2 years old are part of the construct? And that's how little girls and boys actually are born as virgins, right? Somehow there's something wrong with that now?
Well, it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. But I think they're trying to appeal to young people who've been told, virginity is something special that they should think very careful about bringing to a close. And Planned Parenthood is saying, it doesn't really exist. So again, more of this untruth presented as truth.
This is the pattern. Anything good, decent, or reaching for something higher or more noble is now put down. I hope you'll keep reporting on Disney as well. Disney.
Absolutely. We've hired a new reporter who is a Disney expert. He has a lot of good information. You'll be seeing a lot from TJ Mascaro on Disney.
Excellent.
We've got a big, I'll give you a little scoop. I've given you a scoop before. We're about to publish a story that tells horse owners how they need to protect their backyard animals, because Florida is experiencing a trend of horse slaughterers, if you can believe, coming in the night, taking backyard pets, slaughtering them, taking the meat, and selling it for up to $40 a pound on a black market.
Oh, my God. It never ends, does it?
It never ends.
I wish I had another hour to talk to you. Thanks for all you do. Always a pleasure. You're welcome here. Anytime, I always get excited when you come on,
or
any of the reporters. Epic time. Thank you. Well, that does it for this edition of Spouting Off. Tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, when there will be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.